Morning, good Chodesh, good Chanukah. We thought just to remind the Olam that it's come again, Baruch Hashem, Rosh Chodesh, which means it's time to support the cause. So I'll go around with a bag shortly, collect from all of you. Any joke, if you want to, please give. If you don't want to, don't have to give. The Yaki will no doubt give his drosha tomorrow. And before the speaker starts, just a few things we're talking about. Circumstantial evidence from the Prophet's time, are you allowed to believe it? So he brings five rules. Firstly, also to say that the limit of the Prophet's time is. So the five conditions. Firstly, the recognized things or the circumstantial evidence must really prove the fact that he's done something wrong, and you can't possibly interpret the circumstantial evidence favorably. It has to be in a way which is absolutely impossible to overturn. Number two, Shayed Dovo Anika Mamish. The evidence must be real, solid evidence. Shayagiel Ayn Supo, that directly substantiates the account itself. Lo Dovo Anika Kasas, not that something which just a little bit suggests. That's number two. Number three, Shayiris Hadvorim Hanikorim Ba'atzmo, the person must have seen the evidence himself, not relied on anybody else. Number four, Dafke Im Yuchal Yes Lom Yedias Asipo Zet Eles Alabo. Only if the knowledge will be useful to him in the future. Dilafoch, if not for this, Osalahatas Osno Shmez Asipo. He's not allowed to, as it were, incline his ear and to listen to the story. And finally, number five, Achakol Zeh, after all that, Einamol Inyan Zeh Shadvorim Nikorim, only allowed to do this, Rakl Inyan Nahamin Lekabo Belibes Hador Emes Dovar Zeb Emes, only to accept that what he's heard is true, Avalo Lelech Lesapet Dovar Zeh Lecherim, not to go and repeat its dump to other people, V'chol Ofen, any event, Osalismech Hadvorim Nikorim, Mamash, you can't completely rely on Dvorim Nikorim, which is circumstantial evidence, L'inyan lahafsida alidei zeb moment, cause him a monetary loss. La kosa chas v'sholom, or to hit chas v'sholom. Carry on tomorrow. I might go over these again a bit more slowly. Started at the Terraway, Northwest London, Wednesday. Rosh Chodesh Teves, 1st of Teves, 7th day Chanukah. Rabbi Yisrael Sholom Aran Shlita. The subject, Menorah. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Family Dean Koenig for Tzimus Barav Mitzvah of Moti Koen Neriyoy. This coming Shabbos, he wrote in Shishkah Hurov with Kenov Rav Nachas, Yemenim Akol Yosech on the Tehem, Chus HaShrem HaChorim HaMachomo Shachsul Botehem, Nishalom B'meiro.
Shkoyach, thank you, good morning. I think it was about 3/4 of a year ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and someone comes up to me and gives me a sefer that he had written. I'm in the kollel downstairs and we're learning Erevin. And this is a Talmud Chacham, written a sefer on Erevin. He's written another svarim as well, but that was one of them. Somebody, I don't follow him around, but he's known as somebody who learns maybe 18 hours a day. And he tells me, I once heard you speak on Start the Day. And I'm struck, like, this is not the typical, I mean, not to judge, a start the day person, well, I assume. So he says, this is somebody who intensely learns for many, like, most of his waking time. And he says he has to go from his house, or from his flat, to a Beis Medrash at the end of the day. And he is totally tapped out. So he listens to Start the Day. And then I heard from somebody else who spoke on Start the Day that he got a phone call from him with a question. So it's beyond these walls. That's probably, and then, originally from England, he lives in Israel for many years. Somebody of note, and this is one of it. It sounded like daily. I don't know if he's listening today. But I don't think he listens live anyway. But this is a privilege to be here. The Minoisak and Kanem Nasanis Lasheshanim, we know the Pach Shemen, that singular flask that was Gurim, which was the cause of the miracle, the Ness of Chanukah. There's a question that the Ram asks in Masechet Shabbos, why did they not make fresh oil? The Ram's answer is very famous. The question being that if he really wanted to have tohir oil, the timu kol hashmanim shebehechem, and all the oils impure, is just me. Go ahead, go to the olives, press some oil. You have fresh oil, which is not tummy.
So it takes 7 days, is it?
That's the Ran's Teretz. The Ran's Teretz says it took 4 days each way. He says it was 8 days away to get to the olives, and it was 4 days there, 4 days that. They had a wait. Yeah, there was a problem for 8 days till they were able to get fresh oil. The Reim, on the other hand, and the Beis Yosef quotes the Reim as well, have a different explanation why they didn't press fresh oil. And this is where the Mashal has his question. The Reim and the Beis Yosef's answer is that all of Klal Yisrael were becheskas tmei meis. Everyone was either was for sure tmei meis, they were impure from touching or coming in contact with meis, or they were becheskas tmei meis. They were suffered, they were a chazaka that they were tmei meis. And to become pure, we know, takes 7 days. You have to do hazor of the ifechatos of paradumo. Water has to be sprinkled on a person on the third day and on the seventh day, and explains the aim. The eighth day would take a whole day for the production of the olive oil. So therefore, there is also a different explanation why they had to wait 8 days to get new oil. So the Mashal Masechet Shabbos asks this question. He says, if so, what, that everybody was tummy, everybody was impure, why, and this is the subject I want to talk about, why was the menorah itself not tummy? Not actually a problem for the menorah to be tummy, but we know that Chashmonaim, the Gemara, and Avodah Zarah, Saita, and other places explains that they had to rebuild the menorah, and they didn't have a menorah to be used, either because it was destroyed, looted, or used for Avodah Zarah, and therefore was invalid to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chashmonaim had to make a new menorah. They were very poor, the Gemara explains. And they either, according to one mandama, I think it was Yesi Rabbi Huda, they made it out of wood. According to the Manda Oma, that says that wood is invalid to be used as a menorah, they made it out of ferris, a type of lead. But they made, when years later, when they became more wealthy, they upgraded and upgraded until eventually they got to gold. But they had to make a menorah, asks the Re'im and the Marsha. That menorah would be impure if they are all tmei meis. And as soon as, if it's tummy, when you put that precious oil from that pach shemen into the menorah, that shemen will become tummy. And we're back to tummy oil. So what was the whole wonder that they found this pach shemen with the chesom v'shekhen godl? If as soon as they pulled that oil into the menorah, into the receptacle where the shemen went, into the nir ha-menorah, it would become impure, machmas the menorah. Yeah? If you're a tmei meis, you're an av ha-tumah. Yeah, and as soon as you make a menorah, the menorah becomes, it's a keli, it'll be a rishon, and that'll be metama the shemen, which is, and that's the question that's asked from the Re'im. And the Re'im himself gives an answer. He says, not a full answer, he says, according to the opinion that the menorah was wood, machlekes in the Gemara, then he says, maybe it wouldn't be mekabel tuma, because the rule is with wood that if it's a pshute kliyet, if it is a wooden thing which hasn't got a toich, hasn't got a clay kibble, then it's not mekabel tuma. And the Mashal wonders what's the Re'im saying, because the menorah had to have, or the neir ha-menorah had to have a clay kibble. He says, I had to have, so even if it's wood, again, the Chachamim say it wasn't wood, they say it was lead, and that's mekabel tuma, even if it is not, I don't know if it's lead, eferes, but that's something which is mekabel tuma, even if it is pshute. But he says, there was a clay kibble, the oil went somewhere, the oil didn't just pool on a flat surface on the top of this menorah. It's important to know all the halachas of the menorah we find in the Torah, yeah, the prochin and the kaisis, that's only for a gold menorah. Yeah, the wooden menorah they built didn't have those decorative, and by gold that's ma'akev, but by, yeah, we know the beautiful menorah that only applies to the zav. If you're not using a gold menorah, but that's the question, that the oil should become tomei straight away from the menorah itself which they built. And the Mashal says, if you learn like the Ran, if you learn that the reason wasn't because everybody was tomei, but rather because the production of oil took 8 days, they had to travel 4 days to get it from Shevet Osher, wherever it was, where the olives grew, and come back, then it's not shmei, because they were Tohar people, and they could build the menorah. But according to the Beis Yosef, the Re'im, that everyone was becheskas tmei meis, he asks, why, how did the shemen, before they even lit it, the shemen should have become tomei? So he suggests an answer, the Gush Mashal and Shabbos, a very strange answer. He says, maybe you have to say somebody before the whole story of the Yevonim built a menorah, either of wood or of ephes, which is the Issa, because there's an Issa in the Torah to build, to replicate Klei HaMikdash, to build a menorah. I think from those, if you ever go to the coastal and you go up in the old city, there's a gold menorah there. I think they say the heta is because they're planning to use that Elimeitz Hashem in the third Beis Hamikdash. They're very confident in their design. That's that. Therefore, they hold it. Those who made it hold it permitted because the whole issa is only to build not for the Beis Hamikdash. But if you are building it for the Beis Hamikdash, that's okay. But what? Yeah, but the one now in the old city is gold. Yeah, here the guy did the issa. The Bashar says the story that we're talking about. I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. I went on a tangent. Just that the one in the old city. But the one here, the Bashar says somebody built either of wood or thing. But issa, the issa applies even if it's not gold. Correct. We learn out from Pasuk, anything which would be kosher, even if either opinion, according to the opinion, that wood isn't kosher, it is still forbidden. The Gemara says to make out of wood. I think some place can even hold if it's not in the shape of a menorah. That's why some shops, silver shops, or many silver shops, you won't find a Shabbos candelabra of seven. But that's already a machlekas. The place can bring it down about whether if it's not in the shape of a menorah. But in the shape of a menorah, also even using a material which is forbidden in the Beis Hamikdash, i.e., if either chachomim that wood is invalid, it is still forbidden to make a wooden menorah of seven things, not for the Beis Hamikdash. Says the Mashal, somebody built this illegal menorah, this menorah be'issa, he calls it, says, thing, and he left it in his storage house, he left it in his vana, his room, forgot all about it. After the whole story of the Yevonim and the Chanukah nest, they came, he remembered, hey, I've got a menorah. That menorah is Tohar, because he built it when it was before he was Tamei. They transported it using, says the Mashal, a very strange answer, they transported it using pshute kliyates, using plain, flat, wooden pieces of wood, which those pieces of wood are not makabel tomei. So that's how they used that, they touched that and lifted up that menorah, transported it to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what they used. Mashal's is saying that's teretz because he has the question that it's a very difficult teretz, not just because of the story, also that they used something which was made for Issa. We know we didn't, Tumah Hutra, but they didn't want to do, says many Mefarshim, I think they're pretty sure, because they wanted Tohar, they wanted to do it in the most ideal way, and here they're using a menorah, which, that's what the Mashal says, he's got a kasha. According to the Beis Yosef, and according to the thing, everyone was Becheskas Tomei. Mashal says they used wooden slats, wooden thing, to transport the menorah which was pre-built before they became Tom, before the Yevonim. Mashal says it's Machmas is Kasha. He says maybe. He doesn't bring any rice besides for the question.
They're asking how could you light it without touching it? How can you fill it without touching it?
So the outer, holding the pach from the outside would not be metame. The pach is made out of earthenware. Touching from the outside wouldn't be metame it. If they pour it into the menorah, that wouldn't be metame it. The menorah itself is toho, it's not going to metame the shemen. And then putting fire towards it is also not going to metame. Towards a wick is not going to metame it either. A wick also, when is a wick considered enough to be metame, it will maximum be a sheni maximum. Even then, there's ways to make the wick not the kabel tumah. And then, so there's ways to do it, but it's awkward. I'm not chas v'shalom arguing on the Mashal. It's a difficult answer to make such, as he says, no proof of such a story. He says, machmas the question. He speaks out, if either run, we're fine. In Chulin, Daf Nun Hei, the Mashal writes that he was learning this Gemara on Chanukah. The Gemara over there is not discussing anything about Chanukah. But he writes, I was learning this Gemara on Chanukah. Bahalocha zu amadnu b'mei Chanukah, v'amarnu lahalois al seifa meheichan shalomdu. So we see the Mashal says, if we learn something on Chanukah, you should try and find some connection. The Gemara in Chulin, he said, I was learning Talmidim on Chanukah, Gemara Nun Hei Amad Aleph, in Chulin, discussing utensils which are makabel tumah and not. And one of the Gemara is talking about earthenware utensils, kli cheres, which are already tumah. When do they become tumah? When is it considered they are broken? We know kli cheres shenishbu, which are broken, they're not keli anymore and they become tumah. At what stage are they considered they lose their status of a utensil that they can't be makabel tumah and their tumah goes away? So the Gemara says that if the cheres is broken, that all you have left is a receptacle, a kli, which it can't contain even a half a lug of oil,
Yeah, it's small enough that it can't contain any more half a lug. Then it's lost its status of a kli, and it won't be mekabel tumah anymore. Says the Marsha on this Gemara, I was learning this on Hanukkah, and I said, oh, I have an answer now to the Beis Yosef and the Rain who say that everybody was a tumei meis. I have now an answer to my question, how did they build the menorah? And the menorah was tumei, and it would be metama the oil. He says, I have a very simple solution. Of course the menorah was tumei, and they built a menorah because they were tumei meis, it became tumei. But they didn't put the oil directly on the menorah. They put little broken shards of earthenware, which were less than a half a lug, on top, similar to people put glasses in their silver menorah. So there wasn't silver, it wasn't glass, but they had this wooden menorah or lead menorah, and on top they put little broken pieces of copper, of earthenware. And in this earthenware, less than a half a lug, this amount that it's not considered a keli anymore, in that they pour the oil, and then you have your, then that oil, that actual piece of earthenware, the shivri klicheres, is not makabel tumah. The oil touching that won't become tumah, because people can hold it, it won't become tumah, and that's a solution, he says, according to the Re'im, according to the Beis Yosef, of how they lit the menorah, how the Pach Shem remained tohu, the oil remained tohu.
It can't become tumah again. Once it's
that's the Gemara, because it has to originally have come from a large oil.
Yeah.
Yes, it can't. It's not considered. Yichud might help if you make it into a new keli, but the hilchos of yichud never shabbos. Maybe you need to light it first. Definitely, when they put it on the menorah, it wasn't yichud yet. And even yichud's machlek is
half.
It has to be less than half a lug.
How much was the share of oil?
Merdik says the Marsha, it carries on the Marsha. And if he's there, he's got a teretz of the Beis Yosef's kasha. He always speaks out your phone. He says, because we know that whether there's a share for the oil is a question, but the Gemara says, for Lele Tevis Aruchin, for the long winter nights, you need half a lug. And according to my answer, it has to be by force less than half a lug, because the Klicheres, which is not Makav Tumma, the Gemara says, has to be under half a lug. Therefore, they couldn't put a half a lug's worth of oil in it, because it would just spill. Yeah, it can only contain less than half a lug. And therefore, even the first night is a miracle. The last night, the Beis Yosef's question of why is there 8 days miracle? They had enough oil for 1 day. So they might have had enough oil, but they couldn't pour a full night's worth or day's worth of oil in the menorah, because according to his solution, that they had little copper, little earthenware receptacles, then that couldn't contain a half a lug. And Ibn Zohar, he says, Miyushev, he says, he even brings.
Actually, just under the half a lug.
Yeah, and we know that Chanukah is Lilith Tevis Aruchin, and it's a long night. He says that he wants to even bring a posuk, it's the Mashal Chedusha HaGodes. He says, the posuk says in Zechariah, Mi boz liyem katnus. So he says, you would have been mavaza the nest, you would have said, there's only a nest for 7 days. Because the first day it had enough oil for 1 day. And he says, but it was a yom koton, it was a small day. Yeah, meaning a long night. Yeah, a small day means a long night. And therefore, if there's a long night, you need a lot of oil. And they couldn't do it. And that's don't be me, boss. Who's been with Vazalanes? It's yom katnus, he says, it's a small day. And therefore, it's a nest. That's the Marsha in Chulim.
They put too little in to start with.
Shailith is a shir. Number one, is there ice in the shir? Number two, is there a shir bichlal? That's a different. But this is not the Marsha's chiddush that there was less, because the Beis Yosef himself, one of the answers is that he split the oil. So what you're questioning and wondering about is already a chal on other truths already.
Also, not, maybe then the Kislev, you don't need quite so much as in Tevis.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have had enough then either. The first day they needed a chofe. You say chofe Kislev is not the same as Tevis. I don't know. That you have to check. Yeah. No. He's got some good. He says maybe Leili Tevis Aruchit. So what about Leili Kislev? Chofe. One has to check the calendar, go to Israel, and see the time difference of those. So we're talking about 5 days. Chofe Kislev to. Lele Tevis is a Gemara.
Find out when in Tevis is the longest night.
It doesn't say in Tevis, it says Lele Tevis, which I assume to mean every night in Tevis. But you're saying it can't be the sun which is longer? Probably right. I don't know. It's a good question. That's the Mashallah's answer. What I want to bring up, and it's not really the Teretz of Beis Yosef's question. Bring up this interesting thing that according to Mashallah, has now got a novel, Mashallah and Chulin has a novel pshat. That the Chashmenon, when they lit that first year, the year of the miracle, there was a menorah, either wood or ferris. But then there was also these little cups, these little things. And why is this interesting? Because there's a shayla that the Rav Vosna brings down in Shevet HaLevi. Somebody asked Rav Vosna, about the glass cups, I know many people do, I do, I don't know about others, put little glass cups in a silver menorah. Now, this thing of having a silver menorah, is the shiloh, why we have, what's the inyan? Is it just a zeki livan veyu? Is it just an inyan? Or is it something more than that? And made famous was the Chesed Lavrom brings down from Rishonim, Rabbi Yitzchok Sagino, the son of the Ravid, is probably one of the earlier places, brings down a whole hierarchy of levels of menorahs. What's if one can afford? He starts off going all the way down to the cheapest, but he says if one the most is gold. I've never seen a golden menorah, but if one can afford the golden menorah, the son of the Ravid says that the best would be to have a golden menorah. It's much more expensive than silver, I asked somebody. And he said, we're talking way more than a silver menorah. But he says, that's the best. You can't afford gold, silver. You can't silver. And there's copper. You can't copper. A whole list. Well, and the Chesed Avraham brings this down. And he says the Chesed Avraham says, if it is not a keli, if you can't afford anything, don't put it in something which hasn't got the status of a keli. He understands, and this is how the Avnei Nezer brings down the Chesed Avraham, that there's a din called Ner. Ner Ishu Besoi, which is the Chazal's Takona. What does Ner mean? Does Ner mean just a flame with a psila and some fuel? Or does a Ner also mean the Kli? And therefore he holds as a din Kli, and he says if you don't have a Kli, just to put a candle and stick it down on a windowsill would not count because there's no Kli there. Yeah, according to the Chesed Avraham, quoting this. The Avnei Nezer explains the Chesed Avraham this way. The Avnei Nezer himself wonders where's the source that a ner means a kli, maybe a ner thing, and he brings some machlekes Yishenim out of it. Now, if anyone does just the candles, he's fine. Most we paskin that you don't need a kli, but this is there are opinions that hold that you need to have a kli, and therefore somebody asks Rav Vosner in Simon Kuf Nun Zayin in Shevet Halevi. He asks in Chilik Ches, this is Ner Chaim. He asks him that I have a silver. This is a person called Ramatio Deitch. He's asking Rav Vosner, I've got a silver menorah and I've also got this glass thing. It's very to pour the oil in the silver, be hard to clean or whatever. And I'm putting little glasses inside the silver menorah. Am I losing my mila of lighting in silver menorah because I'm actually just putting it in the glass, and therefore I'm going to lose my thing. So Rav Vosner says. Halacha Lamaisa Vazna says that you getting all your milas of having silver menorah you'll still have, even if you put it in glass. Because he says, he argues in the other Nezer, he says, none of the posts can hold like this. And we hold it's just the inyan of the mitzvah, and therefore it counts even though. But he does say that according to the Chesed Avraham and the Avnei Nezer, who understands him that way, that there's a din kli, and that's why there's an inyan of silver. It's not just a hiddo, it's not just a zekeli van veyu, it's something intrinsic, that this is the ner that I am actually. There's something called the ner kli. Then, says the Shevet Halevi, it might be a problem. And then he says something interesting. He brings down, it's not him, he's quoting the Chesed Avraham. He says, the Chesed Avraham says that if the actual kli, if the actual Kaili can't stand on its own. According to the Shitta, you would not be able to use that for Ner Chanukah. So if you hold that Ner Chanukah requires a Kli, if it would fall, if it's something which wouldn't stand on its own, it's not called a Kli. Interesting thing. He himself, the Vosna asks that Kli Shoras are called Kli Shoras, even though they couldn't stand. They were pointy at the moment. And he asks many questions on it. In Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, there's such a thing that a Kaili which can't stand on its own. But that's brought down from the Chesed Avraham. This is a Shitta out there. Yes, it depends which ones do, which ones don't. Kamat, all the poskim argue on this Chesed Avraham. They don't understand it. They say even in the Netilas Yadayim, if you actually build it not to be used in that way, then it's fine. The Rebbe himself asked some klisharis itself didn't have to stand. The Shevet Halevi asks your question. But he's not going. He therefore he argues. But he brings down the shitta. It's quoted the shitta. And even where's the makor that a keli can't stand his own? We only find it in a Tilis Yadayim. If the keli wasn't built for that, if it was built specially for that, then it does work. Yeah, but if it's made, even if it's made specially for that, no. If you make a kiddush cup specially, that's how you built it. Yeah? An artist builds it in a way that's how it's meant to be held. Even and if you put it down on its own, it wouldn't stand. Then it would have a status of a kli. It's only not considered. Yeah, that's what that. But yet the Chesed Avraham says it doesn't matter. Which is the Chiddush, which is Rav Ozna asks your question. Others also, it's not brought down to halach anyone. He says, steam supposed to, none of that, but there is such a shitta. So I do know of some people when I was in Israel who were makbid on this, and therefore they wouldn't use glass which wouldn't stand on its own because the zars are there. Very shver there. All the boys can argue about the zars are there. Lefi al marshal that we quoted in Chulin, we found that the Chashmonaim themselves used little cups. They had the menorah, shal eitz, or shal eferes. On top they had these little shivri klicheres, which the shivri klicheres, just be aware, is cheres is possible menorah lekol amanda omrin in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, and the shivri klicheres was the nearest, if you want to call it, of the menorah. Yeah, but the nearest of the gold menorah were detachable according to amanda omrin. Yeah, and yet it was still considered the menorah shall eat or menorah shall affairs. So we see that we don't look at just where the oil is, but rather the whole picture of the whole menorah. There's a simple chiluk mankum mechabat, which is there's a din menorah. There's a aloch in Beis HaMikdash, al mul pnei menorah. There's a din, you have to light 7 years of a menorah. There is no din pashtus of a menorah on Hanukkah. We discussed whether there's a din neir, whether there has to be a receptacle, there has to be a kli, or can I just be put a bit of oil on the floor and put a wick in it? But no, we haven't yet found anyone who says there's a din menorah on Hanukkah, that the two different neirs have to be connected into a candelabra, into a menorah. Therefore, there, where there's a din menorah, each little kli cheres isn't the menorah. Therefore, we see the menorah. Something which is the ne'er ish or beisoi, you want to be a mahajim and a mahajim, you write many ne'eris, just because you connected it with a silver table or a silver candelabra, who says we see it? That's not part of the halacha. And this is what was in this, that there is a man the Omar, there is an opinion, an interesting opinion, who says there's an Indian of a menorah on Chanukah as well. These are found in Shalas Tshuvas Ravid HaZov, written by Reb David ben Shlomo Musraki from Teiman. Yeah, this is in the 1700s. He lived, one of the Chachmei Teiman. And somebody asks him, Simon Vov Shas Chuvas Ravid HaZov. Somebody asks him, sorry, Simon Hey. Neir is Chanukah, min adin, should we do each neir individual, or should they all be in one kli? Should they be all, when you do Mahadrim and Mahadrim, tonight I'll do 8 lights, will the 8 what you do tonight, can they be 8 separate cups, or should they be connected? So he brings Truva, Ma'ahid, and Eshesh, Neshnei Pias, brings Gemara's, there's no chiyuv at all for them to be connected. They could be separate neiros. There's no deal. And he says, in the year shnas chamesh salofim chamesh meis v'shteim eser liyitzira, that's the 5,000 tofkuf yud beis, 1720 something. He said, I wanted to light. I wanted to light ner Chanukah. Not in my menorah because my menorah was dirty, and my menorah was dirty. So I put it in separate glasses. And at the first night I lit it, and he writes Somach Simcha Gdela that he saw Al Sha'ala Badati, so he said Eitz HaTeifa to put in a separate thing which is more beautiful. And the second night he did two separate glasses. Vehi Balaila Ve'ira B'Chalomi. He went to sleep the second night of Chanukah and he has a dream. I have a beautiful parchment. He says, I've never seen such a parchment with sirta, with the lines. Never seen. And written on it is an aleph, piksav ashuri, like in the Sefer Torah, an aleph written on it. And I'm looking at this, and all of a sudden the page turns, and there's another, in his dream, he has another parchment. And there he sees also just as beautiful, and there's a letter lamad. And next to the lamad, he writes, there's a gap of two words, like about, right? And it says, Elikim. And I'm looking at this in my dream, he writes, and I'm doing. In my dream, I think that this is what the message is. The message is that the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash had seven neiros, and it's Kael Elikim, yeah, is 7 letters. The Shem, Kael, Aleph Lamed, and then Elikim is 5, makes 7. He doesn't explain why that's the menorah, he just says that. And he says that for me, lighting my menorah, which is a zecher for the menorah in this midosh, not connected, I was splitting up between the aleph, it was the second night, so he'd done the first one, the aleph and the lamed was on 2 separate pages, because I had separated it, and therefore on the third night, when I woke up, and I'm writing the story, so I have a marmokim at least, for an Indian. He writes, Laloka, no problem, but he says, this is my dream and I'm just writing it as an Indian, that the Kaneiros should be connected. So therefore, to feed this Indian at least, our raya from the Marshah is back on, that we see that even if it's within a different kli, but as long as it's an Indian of menorah, just like by the Chashmonaim themselves didn't light in the menorah, lit in little cups or little earthenware things, the Fidei Marshah, it would have that milah. Now it is interesting that he says, doesn't explain why, that the Shem of the menorah was Keil Elikim. Yeah, it's just interesting because the Vinay Soscha says a different vault. He asks why, Minosef is quite a well-known one as well. He asks why is it called in the Pizman, which comes from Kadmonim, why is it called Minosef HaKankanim, Nasa Neis HaShishanim? It was called a Pach. Why do we change it to the word Kankanim? And he answers because based on an Arizal, the Arizal explains a Remez and a Mishnah and others, Al Tistakel B'Kankan El Mashiyeshbo, don't look at the external, just look at the inside. The result says a Remez to the 13th, according to many Rishonim, a Middah of the Yud Gimel Middas. It says, V'nake lo yenake, that's the 13th one. And if you take out the word Kankan from there, so it's Vov Hei, V'nake, if you take out the word Kufnun from there, the Kan from V'nake is Vov Hei, Loi is Aleph Lamed, yeah, backwards, Yenake is Yud Hei. So it's Kael Hashem, yeah? If you, so it says that result, Al Tistakel B'Kankan El Mashiyeshbo, you get from the word V'nakeh L'yanakeh, the Shem Kael Hashem. It says the B'nai Soscha, we say in Halal, Kael Hashem, Yoe, it was the Shem of Kael and Yud Kei Vavkei, which was illuminated, Lo Nu, to the fifth, Nu is 56. Yeah, the menorah was seven lights, it was for 8 days, seven times eight is 56. So it was the Shem Kael Hashem, which illuminated for those 56 lights. No. He says, therefore, me noisa hakankanim, from the leftover words of kankanim, nasa nei slash eshanim. Right, it's interesting. He says it's Kael Hashem. Yeah, in Taman, they would say his dream was Kael Elikim. Yeah? Now, I don't know, maybe if those who know Seamus will say it's not a stira and not a thing. Although, just without knowing, it sounds a bit different. But according to Al Marsha, we have a different answer to the Bnei Soscha's question of why it says Minesa Kankanim in the Pizman. Because it's not referring to the Pach. It's referring to the little broken earthenware shards that were being used on top of the menorah for the Chashmonaim. Uminosa Kankanim, in the leftover, those broken shards, Hakankanim, Nasa Nes, that's where the miracle happened. Lashishan. Just to finish off, we mentioned that the Mashal uses this to answer the Beis Yosef's question. Yeah, so one can't be potter to speak a Chanukah without saying a teretz. This is maybe more of an original teretz that I heard, also involving a dream. I once heard this, I apologize, I forgot the names, and it takes away from the impact of a story without knowing the names, but it was a Polish refugee who came before the war, and he arrived in, I don't know if it's Liverpool or Manchester, wherever they arrived, and there was somebody, I'm so annoyed that I forgot the name, somebody who would invite all the refugees, just before the Second World War, to come to him. And he came, and he was a Ger Chosid. And it was Chanukah, so I don't know if it's a minig in Ger or a minig by the Imre Emes, but they had this minig that every year to say a new teretz for the Vises' question. So he was telling his balabais, his balachsanya, you want to hear teretz what the Rebbe said last year? The Rebbe said last year that, what's the whole question? They only found a pach. So the question is that they had enough oil for one day. Does it say anywhere in the Gemara that there was oil in the pach? He found a jug. It doesn't say that there was oil. Who says there was oil in? To ask the question, you have to assume that there's oil in it. So the balabais, I'm going to...
Sealed.
What? Sealed? A sealed jug doesn't mean it's full. Yeah? You can ask, why did they seal it? To keep it tohor, yeah? Because otherwise it would become tummy. So the balabais is a bit of a strange answer. Balabais was... I'm going to make it spice up the story by saying he was a misnagged. But okay, he was like thinking about it, and he was like, but carry on the Gemara. So his guest is like, yeah, don't have an answer for that. It's a good question. But the Rebbe Gazuk, finished. You can't ask questions. Yeah, that was the end of that. Goes to sleep. The next day he wakes up and says, I was thinking of your question. I had a dream. I dreamt that I was a year ago again, back at the Rebbe's Tish, and he was saying over exactly where I stood at the Tish, and I was hearing the Rebbe say this answer. And all of a sudden, the Rebbe looks at me, picks me out from the crowd, and says, Tom, if you're going to say Einavet Fregen, someone's going to ask, what's Pshat? Gemara says, Nachkle, Hebeli Mechadal. What's that kasha? Is this a kasha? Yeah, I'm going to say in English, he says, a liter bottle of Coke doesn't mean it's full of Coke. It's a size. It was a Yom Echot size. Don't think it was a 7 day size, and therefore the miracle was once it filled up. That was one miracle. It was a size of a Yom Echot. Doesn't mean it's filled with oil. Ad Khan, the story. It's an original Teretz. It's not so glad of it. It's an original Teretz from the Emmanus.
Boy,
the size of it wasn't only Yemechot. Doesn't mean it was filled with it. It's not, so the Nes was day one that it filled, and then that much it filled lasted. Original points for originality it gets. It's not such a mechudish, it's not so far. We have to remember the Goyin himself, the Vilna Gaon, when he was asked the question, famously answered that if you look in the She'iltas and in other places where the Brisa is quoted, there the Gisa is V'lo haya afila Yemechot. So the Gaon says it wasn't even enough for one, and he says it's just a mistake in the printing when this Brisa is quoted in the Gemara Shabbos. He says, I even heard once it was just an Aleph with a dash. And therefore, a filler and elo. It doesn't matter because once the Torah is written with the elo, it's an elo, yeah? Not to argue on the Meiri and the Rishonim and the Bisyasim and many others who ask the question. That's the Goin's Teretz. So he's already saying that there wasn't enough oil. Yeah, the Emirates is just going a bit further and saying there wasn't Bechlal.
Why would the seal it?
To make it Klitoy. To make it Klitoy. And if just one minute, I don't go over time, just one more minute, just to get to this point, yeah? It's interesting, this, yeah? The whole Nes Chanukah is a strange Nes. If we think about it objectively, we grew up with it. It's hard to look at it like coming anew. The miracle was to keep a mitzvah. Yeah, I mean, there's miracles, lots of them. But the action, and it showed lots of things. The person davening Shemin Esra, he only has time to daven one brocha. He hasn't come that more. And then also in the Shemin Esra davens for 8 days by itself. Like, what's the idea of a miracle to do a mitzvah? It's not helping the redemption. So, interesting. And it's partial that it's a miracle because the whole thing was ruchnias. It's basically saying Hashem says, I'm going to help you in your ruchnias. Yeah, a person has to do his bit, but when he does his bit, the Ebshid helps him in his ruchnias. That's partial the idea of Chanukah. That's just a miracle in key mitzvahs, in if you want to say Torah and ruchnias and everything. So maybe when that person has to do his bit, yeah, so maybe at the beginning when the Darius was stronger, about one pach you have to give. And then when the Darius got a bit weaker, the Gaon was already in the Skala, his child. He didn't even need to have a whole pack, a bit less. It was good. And maybe the time they were MS, just stelt sua, klitoi. And they still do the rest. Shkoyach, guys. Shkoyach, shkoyach.
Very nice. Yeah.